good morning. This is March 17th, 2013. I know my voice sounds a little strange, and that's because in the last week or so, I've been bombarded with reminders of allergy season, and I was so busy I didn't sit down and do anything about it, so here I am with the perfect demonstration of allergies. But I'm not taking it too serious, and hopefully you won't either. Well, it's been a couple of weeks. Nothing really hit me last week, so I took it as a feeling that I should just take the day off. And I don't mean the day off from meditating, but the day off from talking. And this morning I picked up a book I haven't looked at in a long time called The Joel S. Goldsmith Reader. It says, a selection from the writings of America's most renowned teacher and spiritual healer. And I happened to have a bookmark in there, and I wondered what I had bookmarked. And I picked it up and opened it up to the place. And it's a subsection called Spiritual Consciousness Reveals Reality. And the interesting thing is, it sort of picks up right where we left off 2 weeks ago. It says, you may wonder, then, why there are such things as rotting trees or erupting volcanoes. Are they also of the essence of God? No, they represent our concept of that which actually is there. And so there you see it, or there you hear it. We are looking at our concept of God and calling it a rotting tree, or an erupting volcano, or an earthquake, or allergy season. In the kingdom of God, there is never a rotting tree, nor are there any destructive or disruptive forces operative. The German mystic Jacob Bema saw through the trees and through the grass to reality. To all mystics, it is as though the world opens up and they see the world as God made it. What does that mean, the world opens up? It means that when you have the spiritual sense of existence, the world opens up. He explained it in his chapter, The New Horizon. There, he says what Jacob Bema experienced. Here, he tells us what he experienced and what he experiences. He says, in this moment of uplifted consciousness, we are able, even though faintly, to see ourselves free of material, mortal, human, and legal laws. He says, the fetters of finite existence fall away. The wider, grander view is coming into focus. The freedom of divine being is becoming apparent. The experience at first is like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. There is no attachment to this world, no desire to hold on to it. Probably because, to a great extent, the experience does not come until a great measure of our desire for the things of this world has been overcome. At first, we cannot speak of it. There is a sense of, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended. I am still between the two worlds. Do not touch me or make me speak of it, because it may drag me back. Let me be free to rise, and then when I am completely free of the mesmerism and its pictures, I will tell you of many things which eyes have not seen nor ears heard. And so he speaks of watching the world disappear over the horizon and drop down from before us. In other words, like Jacob Bema, he says to all mystics, it's as though the world opens up and they see the world as God made it. God is the underlying substance and reality of all form. But what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is the product of the human mind, or mortal mind, or material finite sense. The sum total of human beings in the world, under what is termed material law, medical, theological, or economic law, has set up this finite sense of the universe, which they see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. Nothing is what it appears to be. Alright? If you have been wanting a healing, if you've been wrestling with a physical problem or a financial problem or a problem with relationships or any other kind of problem, and you have been wanting a healing, today we're going to explain exactly why the healing has not come. And so if you will pay attention and take it serious, you will find your answer. And so he says, all of us could look at the same object, and every one of us might see it differently. Why? Because each one of us interprets it in the light of the education, environment, and background of his individual experience. To understand that what we see represents only our concept of that which is actually there is very important. Because on this point, we make or we lose our healing consciousness. Now hold on there, hold on. What did he just say? To understand that what we see, hear, taste, touch, or smell represents only a concept in the human mind about that which is actually there is important, because on that point we make or we lose our healing consciousness. So there's your first hint. We're going to be specific later. God created all that was created, and all that he created is good. Therefore, this whole world, whether seen as human beings, animals, or plants, is really God manifest. But when you see it, when we see it, we do not see God manifest. We see only our finite concept of it. So where are we seeing that concept? Out here? No. We're seeing a concept in the mind, aren't we? And we're turning to God, and we're saying, now how can I know these principles so that this concept will be healed? Well, we're not saying it that way, because then it would probably alert us to what we're doing. No, what we say is, well, what principle can I practice so that my body is healed? What principle can I practice so my supply will improve? Is that not true? And your body and your supply and your relationships, these are concepts in the mind. And so you're entertaining God, but you're unaware of it, because you see through a glass darkly. You're looking at God, which needs no healing, and you're seeing concepts which need healing. Pretty strange, huh? This is vitally important, he says, because it is on this premise that all spiritual healing is based. On what premise? On the premise that was in the line before that. This whole world is God manifest. But when we see it, we do not see it as it is. We see only our finite concept of it. So understanding that we see only our concept of the reality This is vitally important because it is on this premise that all spiritual healing is based. And a lack of recognition of this point accounts for 95% of the failure in spiritual healing. So, if you are experiencing failure in spiritual healing, it's just not happening for you. It is because, well, it's a 95% chance that you do not really understand, A, you live and move and have your being in God. You don't have the conscious awareness of that, only the intellectual understanding of it. Or B, you don't see that you are living, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling a concept, which is a blinder, which is a veil before your eyes, blocking out the awareness of God. And so you're living in concepts in the mind. But you don't see that clearly. You understand it perhaps intellectually, but you haven't gone down to the depths enough to see through the concept to the underlying reality. Something more is needed than just a human understanding of this. So, he says, many metaphysicians are trying to heal the physical body, and it cannot be healed. I want you to know I'm feeling and sensing this underlying presence right here, right now, my friends. Let us continue. Many metaphysicians are trying to heal the physical body, and it cannot be healed, because there is nothing a metaphysician can do to a physical body. But when he changes his concept of the body responds to the higher concept. Then the patient says, I have been healed. He has not been healed. He was perfect in the beginning. What was wrong was not in the body, but in his false concept of himself and of his body. If you can grasp this idea, it may save you from making the fatal mistake of trying to heal somebody or somebody's body. All right, I'm going to bring you back over here to the beginning of this chapter where he says, the German mystic Jacob Bema saw through the trees and through the grass to reality. To all mystics, it is as though the world opens up and they see the world as God made it. And you know how I have shared with you the fact that in many meditations, as well in the class that I attended with Herb Fitch, Healing Outside of Time, I saw God inside of everyone and everything, and everyone and everything inside of God. The two were one. My kingdom and this world were one. I was aware of the concepts, the facade, the cover, but I also felt, I saw through. To the underlying reality, just as he says. Just as Jacob Bema said, the world opens up and they see the world as God made it. And that's what I saw. I beheld the temple not made with hands. And this is what we must see, feel, quotes around feel, F-E-E-L, that means sense with spiritual discernment. We must feel this underlying reality. And so for Joel, he says, when I see your body through spiritual sense, that's in his meditations, I behold you as God made you. And then you declare that you have been healed. God's creation is intact. It is perfect and harmonious. And that perfect and harmonious creation is right here and now. But this cannot be seen with the physical eyes. It can be discerned only through spiritual vision, spiritual sense, through spiritual consciousness, or what is called Christ consciousness. All right, so what have we learned here so far with just a page and a quarter? We have learned that 95% of the problems in spiritual healing come from not being able to stand on the premise that God is all. And what I'm looking at with the mind is concepts in the mind. Not being able to go into that deeply to where I drop those concepts, spiritual sense rises and reveals itself. The temple not made with hands. And so there's the answer to why spiritual healing hasn't occurred. And so he cautions, do not try to reform the outer picture. When you meet with thievery, drunkenness, or any form of degradation, do not look at it. Look through it. Do not look with the eyes. Close the eyes, or at least turn away. Look through that individual. Behold, through your spiritual sense, the reality of his being, and you will bring about what the world calls healing. It's always the same, isn't it? We could make probably 100 million talks looking at this from all the facets of a diamond, and we would see the same thing every time. Not by might, not by power, but by spiritual sense. So let us continue, because we're going to go into that a little deeper. All right. Look through the individual. Behold with your spiritual sense the reality of his being, and you will bring about what the world calls healing. With your inner God-given spiritual sense, a God-given spiritual sense, not an intellect, not a mind understanding, because that's just that's a spiritual concept, right? It's a spiritual concept. Now we have a concept of spiritual being, but we still have no awareness of it. We have no consciousness of it. We have no feel of it. Without the feel of it, the understanding is what? Yes, you all get an A today. It's the letter. The letter. And the letter does what? The letter kills. That is why up here he says, don't make the fatal mistake. If you can grasp this idea, it will save you from making the fatal mistake. Why is it fatal? Because the letter kills. He is so tricky with his sentences. The spirit working through him. But when you study these things, it comes to you. So, with your inner God-given spiritual sense, look into the heart of every man and see Christ. And there you will find the most wonderful healing force there is in the world. Then let your feeling of the Christ guide you. Get a sense or a feeling of the Christ sitting right there in their center of individual being. And when you reach that Christ, you will have an instantaneous healing. Now, he did not say, get a sense of the Christ in his individual being, or your individual being. No. He said, get a sense of the Christ sitting right there at the center of individual being, one individual being. And so in your meditation, you and I must get a sense of Christ as individual being. Not 200 million individual beings, one individual being. There's one Son. So all of the work is within you. You don't deal with somebody out there. Joel says, take nobody in your meditation. Do not take the person into your meditation. Do not take the problem into your meditation. Because if you do that, you're still trying to fix, trying to heal, trying to improve humanhood. And that means that you're experiencing that 95% of the problem is you haven't grasped the premise that these are concepts going on inside of you, being presented inside of you by the mind. You must see through these concepts to one Christ, individual being, and then sense it, feel it, get a feel of it, of its movement, of its beingness, of its isness. So you see, it all takes place within one, and that one is the eye of you. So it says, to bring about a healing of sin or disease, do not be concerned about a human being or a human body, but become silent within your being. Feel the presence of God, the presence of good, the divine, or the inner sense, capital S, inner sense, and then you will not be tempted to think of any one person. No. Don't think of a person. Think of a individual, infinite being called Christ. In fact, don't think at all. Get a sense of that infinite individual being called Christ. So he says, it's not necessary to think of the name of the person, or his form, or his disease. The all-knowing intelligence knows all about that. So therefore, when you feel a sense of soul, a sense of Christ here and now, you will have witnessed a healing. And down at the bottom of this page is real tiny writing. It says, for a more complete explanation of this point, see the chapter on the true sense of the universe in the book Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture, which was published in 1947 for the first time, so the same year as the book The Infinite Way. Very strange that in 1947, Joel presented the fact that you have to go beyond the letter to an actual awareness, and nobody caught it. And so, 9 or 10 years later, almost 10 years later, because he first started talking about it in 1945, so that in 1955, he had the Kailua Study Series, where he just came right out and said, we're going to do this now, together. And then he went around and told the other students the same thing. But we're here in 2013, and I have to ask you, how many people do you know, even in the infinite way, that have the conscious awareness rather than the intellectual understanding? In other words, how many people have the spiritual sense that's operating them rather than a intellectual understanding of the principles? Not very many. Can you count them on one hand? So, the path is narrow, and few there be that enter. Alright, so I went over here to the true sense of the universe, because I already love this chapter, in order to see a greater explanation of what he's talking about. And remember, the basic premise of that two pages we just read are, what? You're standing in the middle of God, but you're up here in the mind looking at concepts. If you find the way through silence, through standing still, through meditation, then the world will drop away. Spiritual sense will take over and reveal itself. And you will say, wow, I'm living and having my being in God. And you will agree with the New Testament and the author of that statement. Or, like John, you might say, wow, now I see the temple not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. And that temple is one infinite individual being. And as you rest in that awareness, whatever it was that was plaguing you is dissolved. The concept is dissolved. And more of reality out here appears. Or whoever reached out to that consciousness and is standing in the consciousness with you, oneness reveals that where they are, also this presence is. And we call that healing. All right, so the true sense of the universe. This is a powerful, powerful chapter. If you don't have it, get the book Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture. This chapter, more than any other in this book, is the secret. And he says it. He says he's going to tell you the secret. Okay, the beliefs we entertain about the body constitute our sense of body, right? Beliefs we entertain about the body constitute our concept of the body. The truth about body is something entirely different from your concept of it. The body itself is perfect. It is an immortal, and it is as immortal and eternal as God, soul, which is the substance and principle of the body. Now, you can look in the mirror, and you and I would have to agree, I'm sorry, this body is not perfect. It's beginning to show age at 60 years. What is he talking about? Well, he tells you, your body, seen through the universal material beliefs, which is what's going on as concepts in the mind, was born, matures, ages, and dies. However, this very body, when correctly known or spiritually discerned, is the very appearing of soul substance, spirit substance, eternal being. It is neither functional nor organic. What appears to us as functions and organs are our false finite concepts of the activity of consciousness appearing as spiritual body or spiritual formation. So, my friends, you're walking around, I'm walking around, we're looking at consciousness appearing, spirit appearing, spiritual form, an eternal body, not made with hands. One individual being, Christ. But we don't even see it. We see the concepts, the universal material concepts, handed down from one generation to the next to the next. And if we don't see that clearly, Joel says, we're going to be attempting to heal something. We're going to be attempting to heal one of these concepts, to improve it. In other words, we're going to be attempting to add God to our humanhood. And it can't be done. I want to take you through this chapter if you've never heard it, because it's fabulous. As long as we entertain a material concept of body, we will have concern for it. We will cater to it, find in it both pain and pleasure. As we continue to lift our concept of body, until we gain the realization of what our body really is, then we will find less and less of pain or pleasure in it. Until we arrive at that state of consciousness where we realize the body as an impersonal vehicle or mode of expression. Think about that. We said in our last talk that, or we read that, the Hindu mystics look and say, well, this is all illusion out here, so why bother? I mean, it's just karmic law that I'm paying the price, and when I've paid it long enough, it'll stop. It's an illusion, so I just accept it. But Joel told us that Christ Jesus lifted that concept to a spiritual awareness of body, and then it was healed, right? And that's the difference. So here he says, we arrive at the state of consciousness where we realize the body as an impersonal vehicle. An impersonal vehicle, what does that mean? This is one of those uncomfortable things we don't want to see or hear. Yet we say, oh, I want healing, and I want the healing in Christ consciousness. Oh, but don't tell me that. And what is that that I'm referring to? Right here. The body, as it really is an impersonal vehicle. In other words, it doesn't belong to you, the person. It can't belong to you. It's your belief that you have a personal body that's killing you. Literally. You have no personal body. You know, he talks in the books, and he talks on tapes, and we listen and we read. Okay, yeah, it's not my supply, it's God's supply. Well, okay, yeah, it's not my health, it's God's health. But here he speaks plainly. You have no personal body. The belief in a personal body is what's killing you. Because if you have a belief in a personal body, the person can die. But here he's trying to say, lift it up higher. Lift it up. Contemplate, meditate. What is this impersonal body that belongs to infinite individual being? What is this one Christ body? Oh God, give me a conscious awareness of impersonal body. And when you have the conscious awareness or the feel of impersonal body, then you will know in an instant where we started, which is, it is as immortal and eternal as God, and it is perfect. You see? It all comes down to that conscious awareness of. And so he says, every suggestion of discomfort or inharmony coming from the body must be met instantly with the understanding of the true nature of body as spiritual. But you can't do this in the mind. You see, you can't overthrow a concept with a newer concept. I'm going to overthrow a material concept by repeating all day long, the body is spiritual. The body is spiritual. The body is spiritual. It's immortal. It's eternal. Okay? That's not what he means when he says you must meet it instantly. Probably he should have used a different word than understanding. He should have said, it must be met instantly with the awareness of the true body. See? That's spiritual. Now that would have put us in a different direction. Ah. Okay, so I can't do this on a mental level. No. Not by might. Not by physical might can you wrestle and make God appear. Nor by power. Not by mental power. Not by mental argument. Not by mental affirmations. Not by understanding. Not by a new spiritual concept. That won't work. No, but by my spirit. We have to go beyond the letter. Something has to happen inside of our consciousness. And that something has to be the awareness. And so he says, only as we understand the errors of sense exist merely as suggestion and false sense, can we find freedom from the pains and pleasures of the body. We are never correcting the body, its so-called organs or functions. We are correcting the false concept or sense of body. You see? It's not about getting God to improve this concept. It's not about trying to make this concept into a spiritual concept. It's about dropping all concepts, standing there still until the inner awareness comes. It comes. You don't make it happen. And when it comes, it lifts you out of the concept and you have a glimpse of reality. Well, there's a feeling, he says, that the world drops away. But this can't happen, he says, in the infinite way. It can't happen while you're trying to improve it. But he says it probably won't happen because it does not come until a great measure of our desire for the things of this world has been overcome. You see, he's not talking about whether you have to stop wanting money, and you have to stop wanting fame, and you have to stop wanting power, and you have to stop wanting companionship. That's not what he means. He means you have to stop believing that you can improve the concept. You have to step out of the concept. You can't do that if you haven't grasped the premise that you're already standing in God. You can't do that if you haven't grasped the premise that what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is only a concept. So you have to go inside of your being, and you have to read, you have to listen, but most importantly, you have to meditate until you have the experience of stepping outside of concept and having a glimpse of reality or spiritual discernment. Then you open your eyes and, wow, hey, my throat is getting better. Hey, it's disappearing. Wow. Then you come to see, my kingdom is not of this world. Now we can change that. My kingdom. Let's change that into my Christ self, or infinite individual being, is not of these concepts. Right? God is not of these concepts. That's what it means. My kingdom is not of this world. We already said no illusion is ever externalized, so this world must be this series of universal concepts. So my kingdom, my presence, is not of these concepts. My being is not of these concepts. My realm is not of these concepts. No, because above these concepts is a spiritual realm governed by love, people with children of God. And so, my kingdom is not of these concepts. There is nothing of God or reality in the world we see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. And he says, in the other book, the Joel Goldsmith Reader, 95% of the problems is not being able to grasp the premise. He doesn't mean not being able to understand it. That's easy. But can you sit down and see through the concepts and stand still until spiritual awareness comes, until it dawns, like the rising of the sun at dawn? Can you have that inner experience? Well, he says the failure of religion in this age is due to not being able to have that experience. Theology is attempting to spiritualize a mortal concept called man. And this man and his universe is no part of God. Why? Because my being is not of this concept. You have no personal self. Uh-oh. And that's the big one, isn't it? There's no person here either. Now, if that doesn't bring thinking to a standstill, I don't know what will. There is no personal self. Joel told me, you haven't got one. I asked him in a dream, what about this and that? And he looked at me and he said, you haven't got one. Meaning you haven't got a personal self. Well, why am I working so hard then? No, he says that's 95% of the problem. Not that you're chasing after riches out here, but that you still believe there's a personal self. You still believe in these concepts. And it's killing you. And it will kill you. But not if you rise out of this concept. Stand in the awareness of my kingdom, myself, infinite individual Christ being. Then you have stepped into your eternal self. And the more time spent in it, the more it will become your permanent dwelling place. So he says, this man and his universe is no part of God, because God or his kingdom is not of this world, or this concept, or this man, or this person. Be assured that if God were in this scene, there would be no wars, accidents, diseases, or deaths. That's right. But you can't pull God into the scene either, not by might nor by power. God, the infinite power of good, is able to maintain harmoniously and eternally its own creation. In my kingdom, the realm of spirit and truth, there are no errors, no defeats, no deaths. So, prayers uttered for the purpose of healing, improving, or aiding the people or conditions of this universe reach no farther than one's own belief. God is the divine reality of individual being. Now again, he doesn't say of individual beings. He said the divine reality of individual being. And so in his awareness, in his moment of silence, when he looked through the concepts, he became aware of infinite individual being. Joel did, or he wouldn't say it. To avail yourself of the harmonious government of this principle, it is necessary to drop all thought of human persons and human conditions. You must lose all desire to improve humanhood. And then, when you've lost all desire, there's two parts to this. He's told us over and over and over and over and over and over and over, over the years, you're not going to do good spiritual work if you don't have the awareness of the nature of error. You can't just go around with the nature of God and affirm it all the time. Well, you can, but you'll die in poverty. You must have both of them to have a complete demonstration. And here he is saying it again, back in 1947. It's necessary to drop all thought of human persons and conditions, lose all desire to improve humanhood. And then you won't have that 95% of the problem. If you really grasp that these are concepts in here, there's nothing to do out there, and there's nothing to do with these concepts except to drop them and stand there very still and wait upon the Lord. If you understand that and you do that, then he says, let the inner self reveal in silence the harmony, wholeness, and joy of real being. Not of real beings, real being, one. So, is he lying? Is he making it up? Am I making it up? Is Jacob making it up? Or is there a way to see, okay, this is a concept. There's no personal self that needs healing. And this concept's in the mind. And now, whose mind is it in? Is it in my mind? Wait a minute. There's no personal self here either. Well, now I can dispense with both of them. Drop them both. Drop all personal sense of self. Now, God, reveal your kingdom. Thy kingdom come in consciousness, in awareness. Thy presence, let me feel thou, or let me feel the one self. And stand still. And there's a way to have the inner experience, the inner self reveal in silence the harmony, wholeness, and joy of real being. There's a way to see the world drop down from before you. There's a way to see through the world to my kingdom. There's a way to see through the appearance to God inside of everyone and everything. The one infinite presence. Because if it were not so, I would have told you. Yes, it is a narrow path. But it is the way, the infinite way. So, I want to get to the real secret here. We're coming up on the real secret. And Joel is very, very serious about it. And this was in 47. Spiritual good is not composed of more or better material conditions. No amount of increased physical or health or wealth can testify to the reign of spirit. We rise above sense evidence to find the realm of the real. See, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, huh? It's about two sentences. Actually, it's one sentence. My kingdom is not of this world. And there you go. So he says, soul power, or that which we contact within ourselves, results in what appears to be health and harmony and wealth. But these are not the same as that which is attained through attempts by might or by power. The harmony in our affairs which results from our contact with our inner capital S self or soul is the manifestation or expression of spirit. It's consciousness appearing. And it is the added things which come naturally from the realm of real substance. You see, it's consciousness appearing. And finite sense beholds consciousness appearing, or spiritual reality, as the objectified material universe, or things and persons. Spiritual harmony is not attained by seeking persons, things, or conditions. No, because then you don't really have the understanding of the nature of concepts or error, do you? But if you drop that, if you stop that, if you have risen above the need to fix any of these concepts, and you see it clearly for what it is, a nothingness, an impersonal nothingness, then you're able to stand still and stop fighting, stop resisting. You realize, I don't have to work on that. And Spirit Christ announces and reveals itself. By taking no thought for these and seeking only contact with the divine reality of you, spiritual harmony appears. Humans cannot put on or wear the robe of Christ. The human mind cannot be spiritualized. It must be put off. And a personal sense of self must be put off. Developing a sense of receptivity, learning to silence the senses, gaining the ability to listen for the still small voice, this is the way. Human thoughts, even good ones, cannot help. So, in treatment, to close the eyes and declare truths or make affirmations and denials, this is not the way of spirit. No, this is the way of letter. Be silent. Hold a listening attitude. Be receptive. Be still. And let. Now, this is the second time he said let, or third, and it's always in italics. Be still and let the presence and power of God be made manifest through silence. This is the way, the infinite way. It is a silent state of receptivity in which Christ or Spirit or God is manifest as individual consciousness. It appears principally as a, quote, feeling, unquote, he says, of the presence. This feeling dispels the illusion of sense, or it melts concepts. Okay? Now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. And here it is. I want you all to understand the great secret of the universe. Now remember, if you have this great secret of the universe, you won't suffer from 95% of the reason for failure in healing. So you might want to really, really listen. Listen within your being. Not listen with the mind. Listen with spiritual discernment. I want you all to understand this great secret of the universe. Had the ancients known it, our modern living would be in a paradise. If we learn it now, we can help to usher in a new millennium, or a new heaven and a new earth, New Jerusalem. The few who have known this secret in the past could not teach it. This has got to be an experience, doesn't it? You must have some sort of experience. It would appear that only a very few had the spiritual capacity to grasp it. Some few understood it intellectually, but rarely was it understood in its spiritual significance. So here is the secret which will do away with 95% of failure in healing. Here's the secret which will allow you to see through concepts and have that spiritual awareness reveal itself. I am not a dreamer of idle dreams, he says, but I have a vision of eternal life. I would not have you sitting on a cloud or anchored with your feet on the ground. My idea and my ideal is that you be rooted and grounded in truth, in the letter, but that you be fed with spiritual meat and you drink waters from the wellsprings of eternal spirit and soul. And so the secret, that which has been so rarely understood, is that spiritual meat and spiritual water. And the secret is this: the life which you behold in man, tree, animal, mountain, sun, moon, personal sense of self, personal sense of lover, personal sense of friend, personal sense of student, personal sense of teacher. That life is not a manifestation of God, and therefore it's not immortal, eternal, or spiritual. The life of material man or flower is mortal sense. It's a concept, a universal series of concepts which dance through our minds most of the time. It's a false sense of life, capital L, life which is real. It's a false concept about infinite Christ being. The understanding of this truth deeply, when you see through it, when you have the experience of seeing through it, not the intellectual understanding, oh yeah, I can see how that is, uh-huh. No, that won't do. The depth of awareness that sees through the concept to the underlying reality of the isness of God, that experience will enable you to look away from the objects of sense. It will enable you to refrain from attempting to heal, correct, or reform the mortal sense of existence. And what does he say? Elsewhere, we read it. When that has been overcome, then 95% of the problem is gone. Now you only have to stand there until spiritual discernment reveals God in your midst, I in the midst of you. As soon as you have conquered the desire to heal or improve the material sense of existence, the spiritual or real begins to unfold and reveal itself to you. Bang! There is the secret of living, of life. As soon as you conquer the desire to heal or improve the material sense of existence, it means you've seen through the concept, you've allowed them to drop away inside your being. Then the spiritual self, the spiritual or real, begins to unfold and reveal itself to you. You don't do anything to make it happen. You can't make it reveal itself. But once you've fulfilled the condition, the great secret, then it reveals itself. And he says, do not take lightly what I'm saying. This is the great revelation. This knowledge will clarify for you the Master's statement, my kingdom is not of this world. It will reveal to you the secret of John, who beheld the universe not made with hands, but which is eternal, as consciousness appearing, spirit unfolding, soul revealing itself. And then down here, another paragraph, he repeats it in case you missed it. The life of material man, the life of tree, the flower, the animal, this is not life eternal. It's not a manifestation of life which is God. It's a false, finite, mortal sense of existence. Do not attempt to patch it up, but turn from it. And now, with spiritual discernment, discern the life which is God. Feel, with quotes, feel, through your cultivated spiritual sense, this divine energy of spirit. Become conscious in the silence of your soul. And here it is again, one more time, in italics. Let the divine harmonies appear as you disregard the evidence of sight and hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling. Believe me, please, he says, believe me, this is the secret of secrets. This is life eternal to know this. Yes, why? Because in order to know this, the personal sense of self has to be dropped, and you have to be standing in your Christ self, or your eternal life. The temple not made with hands, eternal. And finally, he's going to repeat it one more time. Only to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear can this vision become a living, vital presence. Only those who have heard what is said by the still small voice and seen what is visible to the windows of the soul can discern the temple not made with hands or the universe of God's creating right here and now. This inner vision, this spiritual consciousness, this soul sense comes only in proportion as we accept and realize the great secret. The life of material man, plant, or animal is not the eternal life of God. It is finite sense, the manifestation of mortal material sense. This false sense of life must be put off, disregarded, unvalued, dropped. And then standing in that stillness, in the silence, the real life and its formations become evident and experienced as your infinite, immortal being. Now, is that not a powerful, powerful chapter? If you see it as I do, if you feel it as I do, then you know that this is just awesome. Just it is the secret. And so there's two parts, isn't there? Understanding, no, not understanding, the conscious awareness that these concepts, these universal concepts of a personal self are nothing. And let them drop. No more desire, no more attempts to heal or improve. We just let them drop. We cast our nets on the other side. We launch out into the deep. We let spiritual consciousness appear. We let God reveal itself. We let the Father reveal my kingdom here in our midst. We let spiritual discernment reveal infinite individual being. And we rest in it. And we say, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for revealing yourself. Thank you. This concept that I started an hour ago, this concept of a person with allergies, is gone. It's gone. And now there is only your presence. And now there is only yourself. And Father, fulfill thyself. And we rest. We rest back. God is. Thank you, my friends, for listening, for always bringing your consciousness to this work, and blessings.